All right, good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, 4 p.m. service. Right, I was told na, you know, energetic and lively ang 4 p.m. service. So again, good afternoon, 4 p.m. service. Yun, okay? What Ryan was sharing a while ago, today we're starting a brand new series called 10. Okay, perfect law, perfect love. Now, if you're here for the first time, my name is Tom. I'm one of the campus missionaries here. We're starting a brand new series called 10. This is going to be an amazing series, and we're going to talk about the 10 commandments. Can you just tell your seatmate 10 commandments?
10 commandments.
And for the next 10 amazing weeks, can you tell your other seatmate 10 weeks?
10 weeks.
Okay, we're going to be talking about each of those commandments. This is probably our longest series ever so far, I think. Okay, so now this is going to be a record-breaking series. So we're going to talk about the 10 commandments. We're going to look at each of those commandments. And our hope and our prayer is that at the end of each installment, we would learning more of the commandments and embracing them, having a new sense of appreciation for the commandments. All right? Now, speaking of commandments and rules, as I was preparing for this, it came across some pretty weird or, you know, bizarre rules or laws. For example, this one, if door does not open, do not enter. Okay, anyone seen that sign? Or this one, this next one, danger, no smoking unless you are on fire. Okay, or this one, okay. Warning, children left unattended will be sold to the circus. Okay, medyo harsh siya. Okay, so you do not want that. Or this one, do not read this sign under penalty of law. So in other words, do not read this unless gan ka mapunish. So medyo weird. But there are also a couple of weird laws in different countries or states. For example, ito, in Greece, historic sites such as the Acropolis have banned the wearing of high heels for fear of causing damage to ancient monuments. Imagine na kung wanto ka mga historical places sa Greece, you can't wear high heels, mga ladies. Bawal ito kay mulikit niya, mukrak niya siya. Can you imagine that? Ito, in California, there is a law which says that anyone classified as ugly may not walk around outside. Can you imagine that? Oh, so if by law, maklasified ka, nga ugly ka, then I'm sorry, you have to be put in house arrest. It's basically that. Okay, so how you'll be classified, I don't know. It's up to them. So, sorry na lang, okay? So, but you have seatmates with you na, you know, you're pretty sure dili sila ma-classify nga ugly. Do you have seatmates like that? Oh, okay. Hopefully, oh, pa-points sa inyong seatmates. Ito, I think we have one more law. The 22 most ridiculous U.S. laws still in effect today. Policemen are allowed to bite a dog if they think it will calm the dog down. Sa police sa US, I don't know which state, if you know, there's a wild dog, there's an attack, they can actually bite the dog if it will calm the dog. So I guess that's like dog rights kasi. So what is the policeman, right? It is against the law for a woman to drive a car in Main Street unless her husband is walking in front of the car waving a red flag. Can you imagine that? So women, if you're in Main Street, you can't drive a car unless imong banal ga wave a red flag. It's like to signal na, hey, you know, make way for my wife, she's driving. So those are some pretty weird laws. I know it's pretty weird. But speaking of laws, rules, guidelines, signs, whether it's weird or serious, I can pretty much say na deep down, all of us at one point or, you know, within us, there's that rebellious side to us whenever we hear rules, commands, instructions. Am I right? Yes. I mean, at one point or another, who of you can honestly agree that you've broken a rule? Okay, when you were a kid, when your mom told you you should sleep by 9 p.m., you know, why? What about you? Why aren't you sleeping, mom? Or, you know, it's a curfew ninyo. Or, you know, for whatever kind of rule. Okay, for some of you, maybe some of the most common broken rules are traffic rules. Okay? Mga drivers in Dumaguete. Okay? No speed limit, no U-turn. I have this sign that I frequently came across in Facebook. Have you seen this? Bawal tumawid, may namatay na dito. Diba? You know why they put up the sign? It's because before it was no bawal tumawid. Okay? And then people would still cross it. And then they changed it, bawal tumawid, nakamamatay. Until finally they changed it because people still would cross it. They changed it to bawal tumawid, may namatay na dito. There's really someone who died na. It just goes to show the severity that people, deep down, they don't want to follow rules or guidelines or signs. And I believe all of us at one point in our lives, or you know, there's a side to us that we don't want to obey. Okay? Whether it's from our parents, from your bosses, from your friends, or whatever rules out there, you know, there's just that part of us that we don't want to obey. Now, in this series, the Ten Commandments, we'll be looking at 10 commandments, 10 specific rules that God gave to the nation of Israel, which also given to us. And when we ever think about commandments, I'm pretty sure now, somehow we just don't embrace them, Okay? Like something more positive. When we hear the word commandment, it seems like something that we should do, have to do, more like military instruction. Okay? Again, our goal and our prayer is that at the end of this series, we would embrace these commandments more, having a new perspective and appreciation towards them. Now, rather than avoid them or not want to follow them, we would choose to obey and follow these commandments. All right? Are you ready for that, church? Yes. All right, so for that, let me just go to Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 3. It says there, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." All right, so before we get to look at one of the commandments, as I said earlier, for each of the 10 weeks, we'll be looking at one specific commandment. Before that, today, we're also going to look at primarily a background or an introduction for the 10 commandments, okay? But we're also going to talk about the first commandment today. So let me just give a background of the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments were written or given by God towards Moses and the nation of Israel. We have a picture here of Moses with the commandments. How many of you are familiar with that movie? Every Holy Week, it's there, it's shown, in the Philippines especially, okay? But every week, we have that movie, The Ten Commandments. It's about God rescuing this nation, this group of people called Israel, taking them out of Egypt. And so after he did that, after the 10 plagues, after the parting of the Red Sea, after the death of the firstborn of every Egyptian household, after he rescued them, after he led them to the desert, after he gave the manna and all those things, now he's brought them to Mount Sinai. And in that mountain, God gave specific commandments to Moses and the nation of Israel. Now, the 10 commandments are not the only commandments God gave to the nation of Israel. In fact, there are over 613 commandments. But if you compile those 613, most of the gist of it, the summary of it, will be the 10 commandments. And they are parang the forefront of those commandments. And for us to have a greater appreciation for them, before we get to the first commandment even, let us find out or learn what is the purpose of the 10 commandments. Why did God, after rescuing this nation of Israel from Egypt, what did he, in Mount Sinai, give these commandments to Moses? Why did he deliberately give it to them, in such a way? And what was the purpose behind it? Because if you look at the 10 commandments as just a set of rules, do's and don'ts for us, then we won't fully appreciate them, or parang it's just something that we need to do. Diba, if you're in your school, in your workplace, if there's a set of rules that you don't understand, you won't really apply them or appreciate them. If you're in school or work, if someone tells you, don't be late, okay? For example, it's a workplace. If you're in the workplace, if someone tells you, don't be late, nga naman, I don't know, ganyan naman kung ayaw ka late, I don't know. Most probably, you won't try not to be late. You won't try to be on time. Most probably, malate yapon ka. But if someone tells you the reason why you should do it, we should be on time, it's for work ethics, it's to be a good employee and all that. And not only that, makuha nimong sweldo kung malate ka. When you come to understand that, now you know the purpose and the reason for it, then you will be on time. The same way with the 10 commandments. There's a reason and purpose God gave these commandments to the nation of Israel. And we too, though we are not Israelites, we too can benefit from these commandments. Because us being Christians, we are now part of God's family. So these commandments being given to the chosen people of God, we are now partakers of those commandments, in fact. So let us learn from the purpose of why God gave these commandments. Okay? The first reason why God gave these commandments was for a moral standard of living. Okay? God gave these commandments as a moral standard, a standard for living. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 20, Moses said to the people, "Do not fear, for God has come to test you, that the fear of him may be before you, that you may not sin." All right? Moses is telling the people, God is restraining the evil, okay, or the sinful nature people. He's given these commandments as a standard so that people may know from right or wrong. Now, what is a standard nga ba? Okay, I keep saying it. A standard is a level of quality or attainment used as a norm or an average, meaning what is the normal thing? Okay, that's the standard right there. And everywhere you go, there are so many standards. If you're a student, and can I hear a shout from the students? Okay, there are ever young, amazing students. Okay, if you're a student, diba? What's that one standard you always have to maintain, in school or in class? What's that one standard? Okay, your grades. Okay, I have here a copy of a grade. Okay, I don't know which school. Okay? But if you're a student, One standard you have to maintain is your grades. Okay? For every school, there's a standard. What is the passing grade? Okay, if you're in college, there are different standards per colleges. The point is, there is a standard. And so that the standard tells you whether you're doing right, you're doing okay, or you're not. Or in the student's case, you would know if you're failing or not. You would know na, okay, I'm doing well in my class, okay, go. You would know what your standing is because you have a standard. Another set of standards is when, you know, if you go to a factory, whether it's a gadget, anyone here, mainly it's a gadgets, you're into that, you're a techie person, okay? You have friends like that, they're always looking for the next thing, okay? iPhone 7, okay? Galaxy Tab 8, whatever. For every factory, whether it be a food factory, a gadget factory, or a product, a clothing line, whatever that is, the products that they sell, it goes through a series of tests to test the quality that it makes sure it meets the standard. Because they don't just, you know, give out any product that it doesn't meet the standard. There's a certain level of quality that they check. And if you go to any fast food restaurant, all right, like McDonald's, for example, have you noticed na same ang taste na ginakaon ni mga McDo nga food? Yeah. Diba? Have you noticed that whether you're in Manila, Mindanao, Visayas, Dumaguete, Cebu, if you go to a McDonald's place, you'd know the taste of the burger, of the French fries. Whether it's McDonald's or Jollibee or KFC, all right? Chowking? Okay, Chowking. Okay, the all-time favorite. Okay, Chowking. Wherever you go, these fast food restaurants have a certain standard to their meals. Now, whatever city you are, you know the taste is consistent because they have a standard. But the same goes with our moral standard of living. God gave a set of commandments so that we as a people would know whether we are living right or not. So that there's a basis for us in our lives to see whether we're living righteously, the way we live is correct or right, or it's not. Basically, the commandments act as a parang a moral compass. Okay, for those of you who are into Boy Scout or mga scouts, diba? You remember this thing? It's one of the frequent tools, the most important tools that you can have. The compass is something that is used to give you direction. So if ever you get lost, you have something to guide you. God's commandments, okay, the Ten Commandments, okay, acts as our moral compass. It points us in the right direction that we would know whether we're living right or not. God being a holy God, all right, God being this holy, awesome God, taking Israel and making Israel his chosen nation also wants them to live a holy and pure life. And for them to live a pure and holy life, all right, they need to know how. They needed a guideline, a set of rules for them to know that. And that was what the commandments were for, a moral standard of living. And it is true for them back then as it is for us, that it is a moral standard for us to determine what is right and what is wrong. Because what happens if we don't have a standard? What happens if we live our lives without a moral standard, without, you know, any basis from what right is wrong? What's going to happen is basically we're going to have, you know, chaos and, you know, magkagubot sa kalibutan nato. Imagine, if you will, if you were part of a singing competition. Anyone here, you have friends, may ligmo kanta? Everyone here, you have friends right now. You have the best voice in the world. You feel like, basta matog video, okay, man, it's a sure 100, you know, whatever the song, whether old or dili. Imagine, if you will, you were part of a singing competition and you entered that competition along with your friends, whatever. But the thing with this competition, there's judges, okay, there's an audience. The one thing in this competition that's different from everything else is that there is no basis on to choose the winner. There is no clear guidelines. There's no criteria to pick the right winner. There's no clear criteria. How do you think it's going to happen in that singing competition? If there's no clear criteria, what? Magkagubot, okay? It's not going to be a clear winner. There's not going to be a clear reason why this person should win the contest. One person might say, you know what? I have the best voice. I should win this. But another person might say, you know what? Yes, you have the best voice, but you know what? I can perform it better. Ikaw singing lang ka, ako singing dance, kaya na ako. Oh. But someone else might say, you know what? Ikaw mo sing and dance perform mo, pero ang get up na ako, ibang level. And of course, one person might say, na ako'y car. That from Daogo. Samo ka, bro. Diba? If there was no clear criteria, there'd be chaos in that competition. No clear-cut way to determine who should win or not. The same thing with our lives. If we don't have a moral basis, a moral standard of living, then we wouldn't know whether we're living righteously or not. We wouldn't know whether we're on the right track, we're on the right path, or been walking in the wrong direction the whole time. And if there's one thing I know about traffic rules, regulations whatsoever, if you're headed in the wrong way in a one-way street, then you know that it's a pretty dangerous thing. God's commandments is for us a moral standard of living. The second reason why God made or gave the commandments was to establish a covenant relationship with the nation of Israel. Right? A covenant relationship. In Exodus chapter 34, verse 28, it says there, so he, talking about Moses, was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He never ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Right? So, what is a covenant? Know practically what relationships are, you know, friends, anyone, any bonds with people in their lives, you know, friends, family. All right, how many of you are proud of your friends? How many of you have great friends this afternoon? You're with great friends, all right? Okay, palakpak sa yung friends. We know what relationships are, but what is a covenant? Okay, what does it mean? A covenant is a sacred agreement made before God. It's an agreement, okay? We know about agreements in today's world. It's like a contract, sabot, you know, any form of agreement. And in today's world, an agreement might be a contract where, you know, two parties would sign, would agree. Okay, one person told me a while ago, well, one example would be our newly formed region, the Negros Island region. Two agreements between two former separate regions became one region, okay? Negros Oriental, Occidental, becoming the Negros Island region. That's an agreement right there, okay? But a covenant is more than just a simple agreement. Because the difference between a covenant and any other form of contract, agreement with people is that it is made before God. It is made to God or before God. And for God, He was doing this to the whole nation of Israel. And, you know, when we think about a covenant, it has more weight, more importance than any form of agreement because, yes, it's before God. But back then, in the olden times, the people take it so seriously that, you know, whenever they would make an agreement, a covenant, the terms would be severe. Okay, I have a picture right here of katong covenant. This is the story of Abraham. Before God made a covenant with the whole nation of Israel, He made a covenant with the forefather of the nation of Israel, which is Abraham. Okay, that was the first covenant He made with this certain group of people, the forefathers, Abraham. And, you know, it was a pretty interesting covenant. It was a pretty, you know, serious or big thing. What happened was that God took Abraham, kind of like, Viz, bro, can you just come up here on stage? Okay. Can you just welcome Mav? Okay. Papakayin mo naman si Mav. Imagine if Mav was Abraham. Okay. If, let's say, when God made a covenant with Abraham, you know, He was making this agreement with Abraham. You know, in today's world, if we make an agreement, pirma lang ta, we sabot ta, or verbal lang. But sa ilang panahon, it was totally different. What they would do was that they would take certain animals, okay, may it be a cow, a sheep, goat, birds, whatever kind of animals. Then, you know, that they would half those animals. They would cut it into the portions or half. They would set it in the sides. Okay, imagine ninyo kanang wedding aisle. But instead of flowers on the aisle, may animal parts nakabutang. They would set it in the sides. And both parties would walk, okay, in that aisle as a sign of agreement of the covenant. And the reason they're doing that is that the both parties, when they walk down that aisle, they are basically telling or agreeing na, I agree to this covenant, to this agreement, and if I break this covenant, if I break this, if I did not fulfill my end to this, the same thing that happened to the animals may it also happen to me. They're, in effect, declaring na kung kain ka ng animals, namatay, something bad happened to them, may something terrible also happen to me. That's how they made their covenants back then. Okay, thank you, bro. You can take your seat. That's how they made their covenants. It was a sacred, holy agreement made before God. And nowadays, we still even, in fact, practice those covenants. Not in a bloody, messy way, na, okay? But there are different certain aspects in life that we still practice covenant because it is important and it is holy. For example, for those of you who are fond of weddings, that's actually our wedding photo, of course, obviously, okay? Actually, kaka 5 months lang namo today. So for those of you who are fond of weddings, okay? In a wedding, it's a man and a woman coming together and vowing and agreeing to love one another. But they don't just do that towards each other or behalf or in front of each other or other people. They do that in God's presence. A wedding is a covenant. Okay, it's a covenant relationship as well, wherein two people agree in the presence of God. Right. Now, going back to the story of Israel and the Ten Commandments, God was making this covenant relationship with the nation of Israel. Now, what does that look like? It means that God, when He physically rescued this whole nation of Israel from slavery in Egypt, now in effect, He wants this group of people to be His people, to be His chosen people. Think of it as you will now, when people would adopt, you know, a baby or, you know, a kid from an orphanage or asaba, when they would adopt that baby or that kid, when that baby or that kid becomes part of their family, they would in turn teach, you know, the values, beliefs of their family. The same thing with God. As He rescued this whole group, this nation of Israel, from slavery of Egypt, He was in effect teaching them how to live a pure and holy life. Because now they were His people. Now they were God's chosen people. And they needed to learn how. God was establishing a relationship with them because now they were His people. It's kind of like that. He was establishing this relationship with them. And you know what? Our relationships pretty much define who we are. Our relationships mold who we are. And the same thing with these people, this whole nation of Israel. God was molding them through this relationship that they were going to have with God. Okay? So that's the second reason, covenant relationships. The third reason, and a pretty important reason, was to reveal man's sinfulness. Okay? The Ten Commandments, the reason that it existed was to reveal man's sinfulness, his sinful nature. Okay? That's all of us, man. Okay? I can say it is man. In James chapter 2, verse 8 to 11, it mentions about the law. If you really fulfill the royal law, pertaining to the commandments and every other law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, do not commit adultery, also said, do not murder. If you do not commit adultery but do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. Can you guys imagine that? Even if you accomplish, let's say, 9 out of 10 of the 10 commandments, but if you fail one, then you still fail all the 10 commandments. The 10 commandments exist to reveal our fallen nature. It's kind of this. I have a mirror right there. Can you borrow that? Imagine if the 10 commandments were a mirror. All right, I have a mirror right here. Do you have friends now? You can spend hours looking at the mirror. Huh? Mga several hours, no different angles. Okay. The 10 commandments, it's kind of like a mirror. Now it reveals, you know, our sinful nature, what's in us, who we are. When you look at the mirror, what do you expect to find when you look at the mirror?
Handsome guy.
Handsome guy? Whoa, grabe. Okay. Now, what do you expect to find in the mirror? Your best friend? Di po the guy? Huh? Your future? What's that about? Mirror, mirror. But what do you expect to find in the mirror? Your image, your reflection. It's what you look like, okay? Not what you think you look like. When you look at the mirror, it's like, may ta maka six-pack abs go, or, you know, that blue eyes, blonde hair, you know, or that fair skin, maglantaw ni mo, ay, nanindig ko maglantaw. Is that what you think you look like or what you want to look like? But the mirror reflects what you really look like. Well, you just tell your seatmate what you really look like. Okay, tell your seatmate, okay lang na, bro. Okay? It reveals what we really look like. It reflects what we really are. Okay, whenever we look at the mirror. And the same thing with the Ten Commandments. When we look at the Ten Commandments, it's like a mirror that shows our sinful nature. If you remember the Ten Commandments, there's stuff there that says, do not commit murder. Why do you think that God had to say that? Why? Because humans as people has that inclination or tendency to commit murder, to attack someone. We are prone to be angry or attack people. It says, do not covet. Okay? Ayaw kasuya sa whatever your friend or your neighbor has. Why do you think it's written there? Because when we look at it, it tells us that we have that tendency to covet. Masuya ta sa whatever our neighbors have. Whether that be their possessions, okay, their lifestyle, the friends they have, their accomplishments. We all had that tendency. It says, thou shalt not steal. And so many people have a tendency to steal, to lie, to cheat. Okay? When we look at the Ten Commandments, it reflects our sinful nature. How far, okay, we've fallen. How much far apart from God we are. How much in need we are of God's grace. Many people say, you know what? What's the point of the Ten Commandments? We are under grace. New covenant naman. But for us to truly appreciate the grace that God has given us in this new covenant that we speak of, the Ten Commandments is crucially important because it points us towards the grace of God. It tells us that we need the grace of God because we fail in each and every one of these commandments. When we look at those commandments, it's like, it tells us that we don't just have, you know, minor failures in some of them, but each and every one of them, we fail them. For example, okay, the first one, love the Lord your God. How many of you at one point in your life, you've loved something else more than God? You prioritize something else more than God. Yes. But it's all of us. We fail that. Okay, thou shalt not commit murder. Yes, you know, I'm pretty sure many of us here have not committed murder. But Jesus said, if you're angry towards someone, you've already committed murder in your heart. And how many of you have been angry towards someone? Diba? All of us. We failed that. There's so much other stuff out there in the Ten Commandments that we've failed. And as the Bible we just read a while ago says, if we fail one, we failed everything. Yes. Okay, the Ten Commandments tells us, it shows our sinful nature. Okay? And that's basically the purpose for the Ten Commandments, the three main purposes. Okay? For us, a moral standard, to establish a covenant relationship with God, and to reveal our sinful nature. Now, I'm going to go back with this third point in a while. But before that, now that we know the purpose of the Ten Commandments, now let's take a look at the first one. The first most important commandment of all. Okay, this is most important because obviously it's the number one thing. Everything else, okay, follows after this commandment. Okay, the first commandment, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 3. Yes, sir. And God spoke all these words. Okay, God, the God of the heavens, the God of the universe, spoke these words, spoke the rest of the commandments, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. The first commandment, there is one God above all. There's only one God. Can you just tell your seatmate, there's just one God. One God. Okay? There's just one God. What does it mean for us? It means that there is one God, and this one God is the source, is the mind behind the Ten Commandments. It was not something made by Moses, the Israelites, or by a group of people lang. But it was made by God. Him being the source of all wisdom and knowledge, Him being the God, not a God, but the God, the one and only God, made these commandments. And because He made these commandments, it means that these commandments are important. They're vital. If you're a Filipino citizen, a decree would be made by the president or by our senators, by any figure of authority in our nation, we would know that this rule is important. If the president would declare, okay, they're saying na, di ba, nga katong 10 p.m. curfews, the new president would declare, there's talk of new rules, new laws. If that law would be passed, whatever new laws would be passed by the authority in our nation, then we would have to obey those laws because the person who made it has the authority. And what he said or what he passed is important. You know what? All the more can God. These commandments were made by God. And therefore, they are of utmost importance and value. They were made by God, and therefore, they have that moral authority. And they came from the one true God, the one and only God. This is what this first commandment is, that there is only one God above all, and there is only one God that we must worship. I just tell your seatmate, one God that we must worship. Okay, one God that we must worship. Okay, in Matthew 4, chapter 8, verse 10, this is the story of Jesus, okay? When he was in the wilderness, okay, being tempted by the devil, and it gives us a good picture about understanding that law even more. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all this I will give you if you fall down and worship me. The devil is telling Jesus, fall down, worship me. I will give you all these other things. That's nice. These countries, these kingdoms, these riches. And Jesus said to the devil, Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. This is Jesus, in fact, quoting the law, the Ten Commandments, the first one. He's telling the devil, you know what, begone. The law says that we should only worship one God. Only one true God. Right. If there's one being that we should worship, totally worship, that owes our allegiance, our wholehearted worship, okay, it is God. Okay. Every Sunday we come here to worship the one true God, but may not just be on Sundays. But 24/7, from Monday to Sunday, may we declare that there is just one God. Yeah. What does it look like when we obey that rule not? There is one God and no other gods before Him. It means that in our lives, especially in our hearts, if there is a throne in our hearts, okay, imagine, okay, there's a throne. Wow, there's a heavenly throne. Imagine if that was your heart, okay, kasi gayong heart. If that was your heart right there, if at the center of your heart, those deepest desires, the most important thing in your life is seated on that throne, then it should be the one true only God. And what does it look like? If we have God in the throne of our hearts, what does it look like? It means that in every area of our life, we honor and we worship Him. If you are a student, it means now when you go to your classes and you study, you honor God in your studies, you honor God in your exams, you honor God in your assignments. You don't cheat, you don't cut your way. You know, you honor God with your studies, your class. You be on time. You know, you use the baon that your parents give you wisely, okay? You don't sing a manok project, but then you use it for something else. Okay, students, okay? For those of you who are working, what does it mean to honor God in your life? It means you honor God in your work. Then you go to your, you diligently work, you honestly work. You don't cheat your way in your work or do something terrible in your work, but you do honest work, honest living. The way we handle our relationships, we honor God through it. Now, whenever we have conflict with someone, at the end of the day, we choose to honor God. At the end of the day, it's not whether it's choosing, it's not about, you know, who's right, who's wrong. It's about what honors God. How can you honor God? Now, victory exists to honor God and make disciples. We exist mainly to honor God, of course. Now, in every area of our life, He is God. He is God, the one God above all. And may it be true for us, church, from Monday to Sunday, not just in the 1 hour and a half service, that God becomes the God in our lives. May it be in every area of our life, whether that be our studies, our finances, our relationships, in our health, okay, in our desires, in our decisions. God is God above all. That He is our God. That at the end of the day, the way we move, the way we decide, the way we feel, we do so as an act of worship towards God. It's not anymore whether, it's not about just what we want. Now, Lord, this is what I want. This is what I feel. That's why I want to do this. I'm angry, Lord God. I'm frustrated. That's why mag-wild go, mag-walling go, mag-muniang buhato na ako. I want to do what I want to do. Mag-stress eating go and all these things. But if we know that there is one God that we should worship, that's no longer what we want lang, but it's about what He wants. Then we should know na, okay, Lord, what is the God-honoring thing to do in this situation? In every area of our life, may we ask ourselves, okay, how can I honor God in this situation? How can I honor God in my studies? How can I honor God in my work? How can I honor God with my family? How can I honor God with my marriage? How can I honor God with this and that? That's what it means to have God as the one and only true God in our lives and in our hearts. Now, the problem is sometimes in our hearts, it's not a throne. A lot of times, it becomes a crowded couch. Okay? Couch. Couch. Couch potato. Okay, couch. You don't like that. Okay? Sometimes in our hearts, it's not a throne. Yes, God is there. You love God. You like God. Pero nakishare. Okay? Nasi God, naimong work, naimong hobbies, desires, naimong own selfish desires or perspectives, ganahan mo, and this is what you want. There is that relationship with people. There is, you know, this and that. Sometimes it gets too crowded. Now, God is no longer on the throne, but sharing the throne with so many things, okay? And it shouldn't be that. There's only one God, okay, that whom we must worship explicitly in verse 3. Can we go to verse 3? Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. It says, now, you shall have no other gods before me. No other gods. When we say gods, I'm not just pertaining to idols. I'm not just pertaining to, you know, gods na in ancient time, mga mythological gods na you know, sila Zeus, sila whatever those mythological gods. But a god is anything that you worship, anything that you love more than God, anything that you seek long after, anything that you allow to control yourself. That is your god. So it could be anything. It could be your finance, your relationships, your work, your studies. Whatever is your security, whatever you love more than God, that is your God. And the commandment here is explicit. It tells us that God says, you shall have no other gods before me. Okay, no other gods before me. Now, when we get to hear that commandment, you know what? Maybe we can think now, medyo demanding lagi. Ano medyo straight? Ano mga no other gods, Jude? Why, man? And if you live in those times, in the ancient times, okay, it was so prone to have so many gods. It was at this time that the whole nation was being taught to worship one single God, the one true God. You might think, ano man, ano, why we should do so? Isn't it a bit demanding? Why we should just have this one God? And if you were in the shoes of the Israelites, maybe you would think that way. Why one, just one God? And the key to understanding, to embracing this law or this commandment lies in the second verse. Okay, in Exodus chapter 20, okay, verse 2, it says there, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. When we hear about loving God, sometimes when you hear about that law, you know, when you were in grade school, when you heard about the Ten Commandments, you know, sometimes it feels like a task or a chore we need to do. When you hear about love God, sometimes it feels like a set of things we need to do, accomplish. You know, okay, I need to do my Bible reading, prayer time, all these things. It feels like tasks we need to do. It feels like a chore and a burden we need to do. Now, loving God seems like a really big burden. But it says here, but for us to learn to love God without forcing ourselves. Now, you know, if we want to love God without putting ourselves, you know, without doing it in a forceful manner, now it's out of duty, but truly out of love. We need to know what God did for us the same way that the Israelites had to be reminded what God did for them. Right. In this verse, God was reminding the Israelites, I am the Lord your God. I am your God because I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I rescued you from a house of slavery. He was telling this whole nation, you know what? I did this for you. I physically removed you from a place of slavery. I am your God because I did this for you. Now, what does it mean for us? We might not be a nation in slavery. We might not be Israelites in physical bondage to another nation, okay, whatever the nation is. But all of us, okay, can you still receive it? All of us. Okay, all of us at one point or another were in fact slaves. Right. We were all slaves. Okay? Not slaves to another nation, not slaves to a company or to school, okay? But slaves to sin. Right. All of us at one point were slaves to sin. When I say slaves to sin, it means that we were under the influence, that we had no power to overcome the sin in our lives. Right. That whenever we lived our life, it was always the sin that had the power over us. That we felt defeated. We couldn't overcome this sin thing. We didn't even know that we were in sin. At one point in our lives, all of us were in sin. We're slaves to sin. And just like the Israelites, when God rescued them, God did the same thing for us. You see, you know, I said earlier now, the Ten Commandments were like a mirror that shows the sinfulness in our lives. This shows how sinful we are, how fallen we've become. And you know, it's one way to look at yourself in the mirror to see a few blemishes, nakay pimple, nakay some scars, whatever. But imagine if you were to look at yourself in the mirror, you know, and let's say you see something infectious in your skin. What if you look at the mirror and you see your tooth, there's a severe crack, as in like na half ang tibok tangoni mo. What if you look in the mirror, there's something, you know, growing, nag-grow or something sa imong face or sa imong body. It goes to show na there's something in you that's so bad that you need help, that you need guidance, you need someone to help you out. You know what the Ten Commandments, it shows us our sinful nature, how sinful we are, so much to the point that we are in need of a Savior. It reveals that because of our sinfulness, we can never achieve or accomplish the perfect law that God gave for us. We can never accomplish, we can never reach it or come to a point that, Lord, finally, nabutan na ako. Every time we look at the Ten Commandments, it tells us that, man, we are so depraved, so sinful. And what I hope that it really gets to us, I hope that when we read the Ten Commandments, it cuts to our hearts. Don't become over familiar with it because, you know, since grade school, pata, we've been taught in our religion classes about it. But every time we read the Ten Commandments, may it cut to our hearts, teaching us, telling us that, man, that's how sinful I am. From first to the last commandment, may it remind us, tell us that, man, I am so sinful. And indeed, I am in need of a Savior. I cannot achieve any of these things. I cannot live up to the perfect standard, to the perfect law that God gave. I need a Savior. I need help. When we look at the Ten Commandments, may we have that in mind Oh, I hope and I pray that when we read the Ten Commandments, it will cut to our hearts. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 35 to 37, Jesus was asked by a Pharisee or one of the teachers of the law, a lawyer asked him a question to test him. Verse 36, "Teacher, which is the great commandment of the law?" Verse 37, he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest commandment." How many of you would honestly agree that we failed in this commandment? Loving God with all our heart, all our mind, with all our soul, all our strength. We failed this commandment. And if that's the greatest commandment of all, if that's the most important commandment, nothing else supersedes it. No other commandment is more important than loving God. No other higher form of knowledge that supersedes it. Loving God is the most important commandment of all. But if that palang daan, we failed. If that palang daan, no, we are so sinful that we can never come even close to accomplishing it. It just goes to show how sinful we are, how much in need we are of a Savior. Now, the answer to this is not forcing ourselves to love God more. Okay, now I know I have to force myself to love God. I have to do this, I have to do that. Notice God said, or Jesus said, love the Lord with all your heart. He didn't say, you have to love the Lord. He said, love the Lord. As if it was something that's natural. As if it's something that just comes out of you naturally. Now, you know, everyone here who loves eating, right? If you know someone who loves eating, even if you tell them, you should eat, what would that person say? Yeah, come on, let's do this. I would love to eat. If someone loves to sing, you tell them, you know what, sing. That person would do it, no questions. It just, why? Because that person loves. It's there, it's natural. It's the same thing is with God. We cannot love God if we do not have that love in us in the first place. We can never force ourselves to do it. And the only way we can love God is for us to understand how much He loves us. Just like the Israelites who had to understand, had to be reminded what God did for them. We need to remind ourselves. We need to understand. We need to inject it in our heads again and again what God did for us. Every Sunday we come here, we worship God, we sing songs like, you know, so songs like Covered, Lord God, by Your Grace. We sing songs like, Lord, only Your love can satisfy, only Your love with all these things. Why? It is to remind us of God's love for us. It is to remind us that because of our sinful nature, so sinful that we needed saving, we needed someone to fulfill the perfect law, because the result of our sin was death. The result of our sin was death, spiritual death, eternal separation from God. For perfect law to be achieved, there needed perfect love. And that perfect love came in the form of Jesus. The very person who accomplished the law for us was the very person who gave it in the first place, God Himself. He came down this world as Jesus. Died on the cross for our sins, for you and me. That in Him, we have fulfilled the law. That because of Jesus, we have achieved the perfect law because of what He did on that cross. And so now, loving God is no longer something that's a big burden that has to be demanded. It's no longer something that, man, gi-force kailangan jud buhaton na ako ni. It's no longer a chore or something we do out of duty. But if you come to understand just how much grateful we should be of what He did for our lives, if we look at that act that Jesus did for us and receive it with gratefulness, we see that we are under grace. If we come to appreciate the grace He has for us, then loving God would only be a natural response. Then loving God would only be an outflow, but it would be something natural that we would want to embrace. Then the first commandment, the first most important commandment, would be something that we would fully embrace. Not just something we want to do or just accomplish as a checklist, but something we want to embrace and say, Lord, I want to love You, Lord. I want to honor You. I want to worship You in every area of my life. whatever age I am, whatever state my life is right now, Lord, I want to love you because of who you are and what you've done in my life. We can love God so genuinely, so out of the abundance of our heart, only if we know how much He's loved us. Only if we receive that love. Let me leave you with this point. Loving the Lord is the greatest commandment and the greatest privilege. It's the greatest commandment, the most important commandment of all. But it's not just an instruction or a guide or a rule. It's also a great privilege to love this awesome God, to worship, to honor this awesome God, to this God who gave so much, who died on the cross for my sins. Would we not want to love Him back? Would we not want to love Him with what we have, with our lives, knowing this is what He did for us? Isn't that a great privilege, church? That we get to love a person who did so much for us.